Hello, everybody. I'm Greg Williams, president of Grace Communion International. And today we're going to have a conversation on the topic of place sharing. And with us today is the host of GC Podcast, also our development coordinator, Miss Kara Garrity. Welcome, Kara.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. And this is a concept that is very practical, but in a lot of ways, it's not necessarily as understood by our people as we would like for them to understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know in your history with place sharing, you've been practicing this, and I'm guessing a lot of our people practice the place sharing concepts and don't necessarily know to put that title with it.
That's right. That's right.
So with the background for place sharing, do you know where it comes from?
Well, you know, I do, because I took a class called Youth Ministry in Grace Communion Seminary. And so my understanding is it does come from Bonhoeffer, and Andrew Root does develop the idea of place sharing a little bit.
So. Exactly right. I had the good pleasure of putting that class together along with my good friend Ted Johnston many years ago now. And we discovered this. This was something that Andrew Root wrote about in his book, Revisiting Relational Youth Ministry.
Yes.
He had taken the concept from some of the earlier work that Bonhoeffer had done. And I don't think many people know the whole story with Bonhoeffer. He actually ended up dying in a prison of war camp when he was only like 33 years of age. But he did so much in his young life. One of the things he did was a community where he brought in young people and they shared life. Think of the term place sharing.
Yes.
Sharing life together, coming along beside each other, being for the other person. And I like the expression life on life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've incorporated that in our class in Trinitarian Youth Ministry. It's a big part of what we teach, is this practical aspect of ministry. And I know for you, and again, this was something that maybe you were doing even before mm-hmm. you took the class and were familiar with the term, but I know you worked even up in Boston, where you mm-hmm. spent most of your life. You worked even in trafficking, especially with young women and so forth. Is there anything in that background and that experience you could share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where you say, too, I imagine a lot of our folks are actually practicing elements of place sharing. It's just, how are we connecting the dots? And that was part of my experience when I took the class. I was like, oh, finally language to put to what it is that I'm experiencing, what it is that I'm not sure how to articulate in these anti-trafficking ministries that I'm working with. And so I'll share from kind of two sides of anti-trafficking ministries that I was working with a few years back. One was a safe home where we worked with women who were out of the trafficking industry, and they were working in recovery. And so part of my role there as a volunteer in different capacities was just to be in the home with them, to be available, and to have this posture that now I understand as place sharing, to be available for whatever came up with during the time that I was there in the home
right.
with them. I like to think of place sharing as the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Some days it was they're celebrating, they got a new job, or they finished a class.
Yes.
And some days it was, you know, something terrible happened, or, you know, they were preparing to go to court to witness against their trafficker, and something really hard like that, or something had happened that was really triggering to them that day. And
yes.
so they were having a rough day. But being present in all of those moments, sharing that place with them, right? Whatever it
yes.
was that might come up. And like you said, that life on life was really what I was learning, in that ministry. And also that it was almost in a way, kind of led by them, right? I came in with a posture of being available and willing, but you know, some women I clicked with more than others, and some I didn't so much. It wasn't something to be forced, you know.
Right.
I wasn't like, well, you have to be my best friend because I'm here volunteering in this ministry. But you know, how do we build a natural relationship based off of who you are and who God has made you to be and who I am and who God's made me to be? And for some of us, it was a natural friendship that developed. And so that was the first place that I really began learning in real life, hands-on, this idea of place sharing, even before I took the Trinitarian Youth Ministry class and had a little bit more of that language and theology to put around it. And then the other place that I learned a lot more about the depths and just the like the grit of play sharing was in an anti-trafficking ministry where we met with women in the strip clubs who were working there. And for whatever reasons, and the way that our ministry understood it is that was a place of exploitation, whatever way that the women were brought to working in that place. And so we would actually go right into the club, meet with them. We would bring gifts and we would meet with them just right on the floor while they were dancing, while they were working. And so for me, I learned this idea of how do we enter other people's spaces, their real lives, not waiting for them to get prettied up, you know, come to put on your Sunday's best, and then we can share life together. Then we can talk about who God is. But it really challenged me to think about what really is church, who really is Jesus, where really is he working, and who really is he working with, right? And so to see his kingdom at work in one of the places that traditionally I think we would say is like so ungodly, right? Yeah. But to see him at work there, and to see him at work in the lives of the women who are working in the club, and to see the relationships that we would be able to build over time. Because again, the consistency is something that I learned was really important in building place sharing relationships, because it's transformative, not transactional, right? Yes. It's not just, I'm going to show up and give this thing and then you're going to do this thing and then come to church. But it's really building relationship, a depth of relationship over time. And so just seeing what God could do in that midst, that he's really and tangibly present, and what it means to see one another, even in the difficult and dark spaces of life, is just, man, to me, that's the gospel. And for me, I think often we fall into the trap of thinking of ministry of, you know, well, we're giving to others what we have because we're Christian and we've got it all sorted out. But in place sharing, man, that'll really break you of that trap. Because I was so transformed in place sharing in that ministry in ways that I think I never could have been apart from place sharing in such a an intense way. Is the way it's kind of like, you know, the dive off the to the deep end kind of place sharing is maybe the way that I'll think
especially
about it.
Especially in the difficult places, like you're saying, because I think one of the things that happened, like you're talking about meeting Jesus there, not that we're bringing Jesus.
Right.
And I think this is one of those misnomers that happens in Christian ministry, is that somehow we're bringing Jesus. We've got something that they need.
Yes.
But you said you were also transformed. And in what ways did you and the young people you were working with, in what ways did you meet Jesus and how did he show up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for me personally, one thing was even just facing the reality that he's in places that we might not expect and is at work in places that we might not expect. Because we do sometimes have this idea of, well, Jesus is at work here, but this place is dark.
Right. He wouldn't be seen in this place. Right.
But he is already there. And so I think that was one thing. I think another thing for me is even just the way that he is present in relationships, and how that itself is the place of his ministry. We talk about place sharing, right?
Yes.
And so it's not just about come to this church programming, but in the place of relationships is where he ministers. So while I was working with this ministry, you know, none of the women that I built relationships with ever came to church, right? My church, at least in particular, which is often, you know, the marker of, well, that was a successful evangelistic event or something like that, right? But the ministry that happened, the moments that women were able to ask me to pray for them in the middle of the club while they were working in a dark place, in a difficult moment in their lives, the moments where they were able to ask about what was going on with me, you know, and remembered what I had been up to the week before and asked updates for me. One of the most transformative moments for me, where I even felt ministered to in that place through this idea of seeing one another in relationships, is one of the women that I had the closest relationship to. One of the days when we showed up, she was performing, and just right in the middle of working, she was like, "Oh, hey, Kara, like, oh, it's so good to see you," you know, and like greeted me while we're, I mean, to be seen like that, to me, I had this moment of, oh, this is the way that Jesus sees right. us. It doesn't matter right. what he might be caught up in, right? He yes. sees us. And to be invited to see her in that moment.
Well,
too.
What's amazing to me is that she was comfortable in that moment yes. to just stop what she's doing and see yeah. you. It shows that your presence in her life was important to her.
Yeah. And in that, I was just like, wow, Jesus is really here. And relationships is really the place of his ministry, not a church building, not a fancy program. He does things in those places.
Right.
But really, relationships, even in the middle of a strip club, I mean, that's where he's at. And so for me, that was one of the most transformative moments.
That's fantastic. I spent a lot of my years working even in youth ministry. I did work with Youth for Christ for almost 10 years. And my job there a lot of times was helping other leaders become leaders that knew how to play share. But there's nothing like being immersed into somebody's life. And we created this list. This was even in your class when you took the class. But we put together what we call the ABCs, a whole mm-hmm. list from A to Z, talking about aspects of what play sharing is. And so I'd like to share just a few of those. We're not going to go through the entire alphabet, yes. but I'd like to share a few of those because I think it does a good idea of what we're talking about, especially the depth of relationship. So the A, starting with A, always affirm God's love for them, that mm-hmm. God loves you. In fact, God loves you and likes you, and God is for you.
Yeah.
And to understand a God who loves that way is so freeing yeah. and liberating. Let me jump down here from A to B. B, build a relationship as if you're going to know them for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And I would say even for eternity.
Yeah. Look at that.
Well, look at that, because that's the whole yeah, aspect.
That's right.
God himself, as Father, Son, and Spirit, is relational.
That's right.
Wouldn't all ministry then be relational? These people that we're interacting with, they're not projects, are they?
Right.
And I think that's so important because we can enter into that, especially when we're new at this and we're young. We can enter in thinking, oh my, I'm bringing the gospel here. Look at me, look at me. Mm-hmm. But I imagine when you went into some of the places you went to, you probably just felt clueless, overwhelmed. Did you feel limited at all?
Yes. No seminary class taught me how to minister in a strip club. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah,
but the Holy Spirit did. No, we don't. We don't. But the Spirit was present and God knows how. Because he's already in that space. Yeah.
Well, I think this is the important part of play sharing, because the great play sharer is Jesus
yes,
himself.
That's right.
There's no one who can step into humanity like the second Adam did.
Yeah.
And what he's done for us vicariously through his life and his death and his resurrection and his continual ministering as high priest to us, he's the ultimate play sharer, isn't he?
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, with play sharing, one of the things that I feel is liberating as somebody participating in ministry is that it's not on us, right? It's
right.
not, well, we have to do this thing or the burden's on us, but we are really participating in his ministry as
yes.
play sharer, that he's the ultimate play sharer. And in a posture of play sharing ministry, it's even about seeing who is this person in Christ, mm-hmm. not who is this person according to, you know, the world or the flesh or whatever. And, you know, even in a club, right? Who is this person in Christ? Not who is this person according to the customer? Who is this person according to the manager? Who is this person according to maybe even the pastor down the street who might misunderstand the situation and just say, well, this is some sinner, you know? But who is this person to Christ and in Christ, the one who is the ultimate place sharer?
Exactly.
And I just get to participate in that.
Well, in every human is a child of God.
Yeah.
And every human deserves to be seen and to be acknowledged and to be respected.
Yes.
This is a big part of what play sharing is. Let me read just a few more. Jump down to J here. It says, Jesus is their Lord and loves them more than you do.
Yes.
You don't need to solve all of their problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the pitfalls of play sharing too. All of a sudden you're taking calls at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're hardly even coherent and it's not a life and death situation.
Mm-hmm.
So play sharing also teaches about proper boundaries too.
It sure does.
Have you learned some of that in your life and ministry?
Yes. And I think, you know, again, how God has formed each of us to participate in his ministry and in what areas and how we're gifted is going to be different for everyone. For me, it was, you know, I was kind of, he pushed me out of the nest into some really challenging places in leading me into anti-trafficking ministry. And so for me, it was really, really clear there were things that were just well above my pay grade.
I
knew there were things that I couldn't solve. I knew that there were boundaries that I couldn't cross. You know, I have nothing to say to someone that says, well, what do I do? I'm testifying against my pimp tomorrow.
Yes.
I don't know, but let me sit with you and pray with you. Let me hear you.
Right.
I'm for you. God's for you.
I think that's you know? Don't have any special words, but you can access the power of Christ and his presence and to be able to do that. That's amazing. I think it's wonderful that you stepped into that ministry. I don't see every hand in the room going up. Hey, this is where I would like to go and practice place sharing. I worked in my job with Youth for Christ. We had a ministry that worked with teenage moms.
Yeah.
And so I got to meet a lot of these mothers in some of our programs and hear their stories and whatnot. And like one young lady said, she says, I can make so much more dancing than I can working at McDonald's, you know, serving hamburgers. So why would I put myself through this? And, you know, we're talking practical stuff.
Yeah.
But you also have to sort out, you know, with them, you know, what are you actually doing and dancing? Yes, you're being paid well, but what is that all about? What is the motivation other than the money? And just being able to kind of converse with them. But you first got to hear people.
Yeah.
You first got to hear people and know that, let them know that you're safe.
Yeah.
And there's so much that goes into that. I was looking at a few more of these. The S, it says, show up and keep showing up. Isn't that part of it?
Yes.
I was told, I can't even remember who told me this, but I was told that 90% is just showing up. Mm-hmm. And I think really 100% is relying on Jesus. Yes. Is really what we're talking about. Because he meets us in those relationships.
Yes.
Even when we don't have the words and we think that we're kind of just dropping the ball and making a mess of things, somehow he, in his miraculous way, you know, makes a bond between us and this other person.
That's right.
And he meets both of us.
Yes, because he's the one also that always shows up and never fails to, because we're not perfect, even as those coming into place sharing postures.
Right.
So there are going to be times that we fail or we can't show up in the way that we would have wanted to, or and maybe even we meet the end of ourselves. That even comes to boundaries, right? Have been times, and this actually wasn't even an anti-trafficking ministry, but I had a set of boundary where there was somebody who was exhibiting behaviors that were actually very triggering for me. And I had to say, actually, someone else has to minister to them for the next 2 months. I need a break.
Yes.
You know, but I know Jesus was still showing up when when I couldn't in that moment. Right. And so, you know, show up. And even when we can't, Jesus does.
Exactly. And you're right. There are times that there are just some people that, because of the chemistry and the differences in our personalities, it doesn't mean that we don't still love them or still pray for them. But we need to say, I'm too limited here. You need somebody else, you know. Now that's good. That's really helpful. I'll drop all the way down to
yes.
Z.
Oof.
So Z says to be zealous in prayer for them always. And you mentioned that earlier. Because a lot of times we just don't have the words. We don't have the experience. But to just, because of that relationship, to just say, can I pray for you? I've never had anybody say no. Isn't it amazing? People like to be prayed for. They like to be prayed over. Even if their belief is still being formed, they still appreciate that. And maybe that's the greatest thing we can do for them in place sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, you know, at a certain point in the relationship, I mean, this is for you to discern in the spirit, but in some of those moments, even in the club with the women that I had more of a relationship with, I mean, once they've known about my life, ask them to pray for you as well.
Sure.
You
exactly.
know, that's...
Yeah, that's part of place sharing.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Right, because it's Christ that's mediating that
right.
relationship. And so,
right.
yeah, to share in that, being zealous in prayer. Amen.
I'll move back to the showing up too, because I'm thinking in youth-related ministry, but like showing up at a ball game or a concert, a place where they are, and even for an adult, showing up like in their place of work, showing up in a place where they have interest. I remember one teenage boy that I became very close to, and he was, went through some difficult times, but he liked to play disc golf. I like regular golf, but he liked disc golf. And it's pretty challenging, some of the courses that were around the neighborhood where we lived. And so I said, well, show me, take me out and teach me. This is your world. And to go into their world means a lot to them. Even if you're not that great at the activity, I remember the same young man loved to play video games. And I mean, he would come around the corner and just club me. And I was terrible at the video game. But the fact that I at least, made myself available and met him in his space, it meant a lot to him. So. Well, this is fantastic. I know this is just the second part of our series, and I think we're hitting, some good points here. And, we'll be glad to share with anybody all the ABCs if they want to see the list, because these are good practical reminders.
That's right.
But in this series that we're producing, I'm going to hand it off to you now that I've done the introduction and we've kind of jumped in here. I'm going to let you now play the host to the series. Can you tell us a little bit about what's to come?
Yes, I would love to. We've got a lot of great stuff to come. We have a three-part series. So as Greg said, we're stepping into the second part. We're going to have a series of interviews with local practitioners who are really putting flesh to what does it mean to play share in their local context. And so we'll hear from them. We'll have another part of our series to dive a little bit deeper into what is play sharing. What's the theology of play sharing? What does it mean to put that into practice? Some fancy words for that, the orthodoxy and the orthopraxy of play sharing. And then we're going to conclude with a Q&A panel with all of the folks who have shared throughout the series with us. And so keep an eye out throughout the series with all of our videos. There will be some surveys that you can fill out. What questions do you have along the way about play sharing so that your questions can be the ones that are answered during the Q&A panel. So that's a little taste of what we have to come. We really hope that you tune in because, man, play sharing, I mean, like you said, Greg, this is just a taste. This is just a beginning. But play sharing is transformational when we begin to connect those dots between what we've experienced, the ways we're already practicing it, and the ways that Jesus is inviting us into deeper play sharing. So we really hope that you tune in to all three parts of this play sharing series with us.
Amen. The depth of relationship is what we're talking about, and really where Jesus doesn't just meet us individually in our space, but even meets us when we're relating to other people too. And so this is really a practical aspect of what we're talking about. It takes His love in us. I can imagine just trying to get up the courage to go to those strip clubs for the first few times. It had to be the compelling love of Jesus that got you through the door.
Oh, yes. Nothing else.
Yeah. And anything else is less than. It has to be His love in us and through us and spilling out from us. And we also get to experience that love too. It's not like, again, we're taking all of this to the other person.
Right.
But we are. I remember Steve Brown, who's a noted pastor, who's a professor down in Maitland, Florida. And he said, I'm just one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Yeah. Isn't that the humility of play sharing?
That is. And, whatever and wherever and whoever it is that God's love is compelling. I mean, I think that's part of the zealous in prayer too, is God, where are you leading?
Yes.
Where are you leading me? Where is that place, that person that you're leading me to?
Yes.
Invest, to spend my time, to spend life with, to sit alongside. Because again, I'm not here plugging everyone go to strip club ministry tomorrow.
No, it's not for everybody, right.
But where is God calling you to play share?
Yes.
Who is He calling you to play share with? And to be prayerful about that, because there's something that He has gifted all of us. There's somebody that He has gifted us to be able to communicate with, one beggar to another. Hey, this is where we can go get some bread.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and I'm always fascinated when I look at the ministry of Jesus. I mean, He went to the Pool of Siloam. We don't know how many people were gathered around that pool, but it was probably a crowd. It was probably, 20, 30 people or more. But he goes to the one man in particular and tells him to take up his mat and to walk. And that was who he was called to and drawn to that day by the power of the Spirit. So there's times in our life, too, that we are drawn to certain ones that God's really matching us up with other people. Sometimes people we wouldn't choose to match ourselves up with.
That's right. So you got to listen carefully.
You do. And it really becomes about participating with how the Spirit is working in our life and that our eyes are open, that we're seeing around us, where are places that we're being drawn to the other person.
That's right.
I know there's a lot more to learn about this. I hope this will be a good introduction for everyone because really we're talking about more than a concept. We're talking about a practice here. You use the word orthopraxy, which has to do with our ministry practices. Mm-hmm. How do we take the truth we know about God and how do we now apply it in relationship with other people? So that's what we're going to be teaching through this series. And I'm excited that you're going to be hosting it, Kara. I think you're the right one to do it.
Oh, well. We'll see.
Well, and again, for our listening audience, this is something that, like I say, most of you are already doing in so many ways that so many of you are out there loving people unconditionally with the love of Christ. Keep it up and realize we can actually even get better at this too, the more we do it and the more we share with one another. So I'm very excited about this series. And I'll just lead us in prayer here as a way of conclusion for our time. Or did you have anything else you wanted to share?
No, I'll just second that. I'm excited to see what God will do.
All right. Well, let's go to the throne of mercy and ask for God to help us to participate better. Father, our almighty great creator, you're the one who sent your son. Out of love, you sent your son to be part of humanity. And he came to play share with us in such a beautiful ways. I think about him being interrupted when the lady reached out and touched his garment. I think about him stopping in Samaria, of all places, where Jews didn't go. And he sits down and talks to the woman at the well who's been rejected by her own people. And I just look at the fabulous ways that Jesus met people, as Kara said, in good situations, in bad situations, in messy situations. But he's always present. So help us, Lord, to join you in the way that you play share with all humanity. Help us to see the relationships you're calling us into and how you're using those relationships to transform the world. Lord, we thank you for this time. I pray for the other presenters and the other parts of the series that are yet to be produced. I just pray that not only will this be an impacting series, but I pray for those who are listening that they actually are more in tune with what you're doing in their life, that they're more in tune with the people around them and how you're joining us together. I think the greatest issue in the church today is that believers are not in relationship with the not yet believers. And so help us, Lord, through this practice of play sharing to do a much better job and to really be the church in the world today. Thank you for this time and thank you for this series. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, tune in to see Kara's other part of the series that'll be coming up. Again, continue to play share, continue to share the love of Christ as you've been transformed, be an agent of transformation.